We heard that Bill Cosby was going out to a restaurant in Philadelphia, La Veranda, an Italian restaurant. He pulled up and, you know, we were there flashing cameras in his face. They didn't seem to mind too much. They kind of walked past us and went inside.
Laura McChrystal is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. In early January, she covered the first public sighting in Philadelphia of Bill Cosby since his mistrial last year. And it wasn't your typical spaghetti dinner.
It was sort of a bizarre affair because reporters were there, kind of hovering nearby, documenting it.
Cosby sat in a nearly empty restaurant for dinner with friends. He cracked jokes and showed off old photos from when he was a kid. And then
someone came out to one of our photographers and said, "Mr. Cosby would like to see you back over at the table." And I kind of followed. Our photographer kind of paused since I was standing nearby and said, "Mr. Cosby, can I introduce you to my colleague, Laura McChrystal?" He put out his hand to shake my hand, and I said hi, and he said, "Please don't put me on Me Too. I just shook your hand like a man."
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Cosby Unraveled. I'm your host, Annette John Hall. Laura McChrystal didn't make any assumptions about what the actor and comedian may have meant by that comment. But whether he likes it or not, Bill Cosby is in Me Too. In June 2017, when the sexual assault trial of Bill Cosby ended in a mistrial, most of us had never heard of the hashtag MeToo.
My name is Tarana Burke, and I'm the founder of the MeToo movement.
Burke, a victim of sexual assault herself, started the work to give women and girls of color who'd experienced sexual violence a way to be heard.
The message of MeToo is the same message across the board. Sexual violence knows no race, no color, no gender or class, but the response to sexual violence does.
Even though she created the slogan about 10 years ago while working with marginalized girls in Alabama, it didn't get the notice it deserved until Hollywood got a hold of it.
Ashley Judd telling her story. It's her first television interview.
And it exploded.
Against Harvey Weinstein.
And Harvey Weinstein is facing a new bombshell allegation of his own. It comes from actress Salma Hayek.
Now it's Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o sharing her disturbing story.
Suddenly scores of women are speaking out against powerful men, and they're being believed. That's the big difference between the first Cosby trial and where we are today.
What happened with Bill Cosby was a preview of what's happened on a broader national scale.
Rebecca Traister is an author and journalist covering feminist issues for New York Magazine.
For years, there were these allegations against Cosby that had been made public, but that nobody really seemed to care about, right? People knew about them, but nobody really wanted to consider what they meant. Nobody really wanted to reckon with them.
More than 60 women came forward to accuse Cosby of sexual assault on incidents going back decades. Take a listen to former Playboy bunny PJ Mastin being interviewed by CNN's Allison Camerota.
You don't remember anything from the point that you had the sip of the Grand Marnier to the point where you woke up naked in the bed.
I remember hurting really bad.
Your body was in pain.
My body was hurting.
What did you think when you woke up? Let me stop you there. When you woke up and you say you were bruised.
I knew I was raped. I knew I was raped. There were bruise marks all over me. I knew I was raped by him.
When Cosby accusers came forward, they were called liars, gold diggers, or outright dismissed. Forget hashtag Me Too. For them, it was more like hashtag So What.
I think that the anger that it hadn't been taken seriously did send a message like, don't tell your story, don't bother, nobody's going to pay attention, nobody's going to listen to you.
Traister says that's one of the effects of not being believed. Women stop coming forward. They get shut down. And for Cosby, there was another element, race. Cosby broke through so many barriers in entertainment. The Cosby Show brought him to living rooms across America. a father figure who whites could trust and blacks could be proud of. And some fans couldn't believe that squeaky clean image they saw on TV every week could jibe with the allegations against him.
Bill Cosby was a great comforter of whiteness in America. And the idea that he might be a hypocrite or a criminal hypocrite came at great cost.
For so long, Cosby was given a pass. Stories about him drugging and assaulting women were either silenced or boiled down to a rumor, even a punchline. But victims of sexual violence weren't laughing. In fact, they got more and more pissed at the sheer wrongness of it.
I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her.
Even a damning tape of candidate Donald Trump didn't stop his rise to President Trump.
They let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the pussy.
I can do anything.
Zero consequences. But something was happening.
The anger is building and building, and then there's the story about Harvey Weinstein, and in that case, that was the thing that cracked open the window.
Sexual harassment allegations, movie mogul Harvey Weinstein has been forced out of his own company.
And then all of it has come pouring out like a volcano.
Today, I am announcing that in the coming weeks, I will be resigning as a member of the United States Senate.
Breaking news overnight, Matt Lauer has been terminated from NBC News.
Longtime newsman Charlie Rose fired from CBS News.
Louis C.K. has spoken out about the sexual misconduct allegations against him, saying the claims are true.
Accusations against Weinstein created a domino effect.
We've been forced to have a national conversation about why it is that women's versions of stories haven't been believed.
We're at the point where Me Too has changed the culture. Everyone is talking about consent and sexual harassment.
I talk about it all the time with my partner.
I remember seeing relatives posting Me Too stories that I never knew about, like close relatives, people.
My wife and I have talked about it, and I was curious. I asked her, like, had this happened to you?
At work, in bars, in relationships, with friends, lovers, parents. It's on the tip of everyone's tongue.
We're making jokes out of it now, so now we're always going, well, me too, and rolling our eyes.
People are terrified to talk about it, period, because we see so many backlashes.
My boyfriend had said that, like, not everybody has a Me Too story, and I was at dinner with a group of women, and they were all like, no, every woman has a story.
There have been many awkward conversations where somebody will be like, oh, I love Louis C.K., and you might not have heard.
I talk about it once a new accuser comes up. We actually sit and have a conversation about it.
This conversation being had on this level and this scale is long overdue.
But the question remains, how will the Me Too conversation seep into our criminal justice system and the Cosby retrial?
There's been a power dynamic shift.
Gloria Allred is a civil rights attorney who's worked on women's issues for over 40 years. She's featured in the Netflix documentary, Seeing Allred.
Of the women who have had the courage to speak out. Rich, famous, powerful men have to understand there are rules, there are boundaries.
And represents some of Cosby's accusers.
Now the persons who have been silenced, who have feared victim shaming, victim blaming, now they're speaking out. And now the accused are the ones who are afraid of being blamed and being shamed. So we're living in a new age.
Allred can't predict how the Me Too movement will affect the trial. But the court will allow 5 additional women to testify this time around. Along with plaintiff Andrea Constant, these women will likely testify about being drugged and sexually assaulted by Cosby.
It is very important to the prosecution to be able to call these other witnesses. So it's not a matter of the alleged victim, Andrea Constant's testimony versus Mr. Cosby's denial. We don't even know if he'll take the witness stand. I doubt it.
Cosby has maintained his innocence. His lawyers fought the introduction of other accusers. And they argue that Cosby's going to have a hard time getting a fair trial because of Me Too.
You got to meet that head on. You can't put your head in the sand and say, well, I hope these 12 jurors, you know, don't know anything about the Me Too movement. They've heard about it.
David Rudofsky is a civil rights attorney in Philadelphia. He says both the defense and the prosecution need to address Me Too especially when choosing a jury.
They've been affected by it, probably in one way or the other. The question is how deep that impact is.
Radofsky warns the prosecution of relying too much on Me Too for a guilty verdict. He says a recent criminal case of a Yale student accused of rape might be a cautionary tale.
They were friends. There was some contact between them. She eventually says it was forcible sex. He says it wasn't. And a lot of people thought, well, with the Me Too movement and everything else, this is going to be a hard case for that defendant. The jury acquitted.
Radofsky says it really comes down to those 12 individual jurors.
A couple of the jurors afterwards said, we're aware of the Me Too movement. We're also aware that, you know, things aren't always, you know, night and day. It's not always that clear what happens, and thought the prosecution hadn't proved the case.
The evidence and the facts in this new trial are pretty much the same. Andrea Constant comes to Bill Cosby's suburban Philadelphia home. He gives her three pills that she says left her paralyzed. She alleges that's when he assaults her. According to Cosby, whatever happened that night with Andrea Constant was consensual, and Constant's story is unlikely to change. But now, with Me Too and the testimony of five additional witnesses, will the weight of it change?
I have always asked, how many women is it going to take before one woman is believed over the denial of a rich, powerful, famous man?
Cosby's case is one of the first celebrity and criminal trials to play out in this moment. It's almost like a test case of the influence of Me Too. The consequences are serious. If the 80-year-old is found guilty, he could be locked up for what might be the rest of his life. And if he is acquitted, many women's advocates fear a chilling effect for victims of sexual violence. Again, Rebecca Traister.
I think there would be a revolt if he were declared innocent. But who knows?
That's why this trial in this moment is groundbreaking.
People say, well, where is this going? I don't know where it's going, but I like where it is.
Next time on Cosby Unraveled, we hear from a new Cosby accuser.
It was just the two of us, and immediately I felt that something was wrong.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Special thanks to musicians Tony Trove and Mike Vivas, to Diana Martinez and Adam Staniszewski for engineering help. Sandra Clark is Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. Cosby Unraveled was produced by Lindsay Lazarski and Jeanette Woods. I'm Annette John Hall.